You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Welcome back to another Neighborhood Archive podcast. This happens to be episode number 20. After a bit of a hiatus, 5 months to be exact, a little over 5 months, which when real life gets in the way, sometimes the podcast goes to the back burner, which seems to be the case for the past 5 months. But I'm happy to come back tonight with a couple of guests with me who I've kind of chosen specifically based on the topic. I think they're great people to discuss this topic. My first guest is Mr. Guy Hutchinson, who has been on this podcast before. I have described Guy in the past as my favorite person on the internet. And so with that in mind, welcome, Guy.
And same to you, sir. Thank you for having me aboard.
I'm glad to have you here tonight. My other guest tonight is an old friend I've known, most of my life. I don't know exactly how old we were when we were met, but when we were kids. So we've known each other a long time. We spent a semester as roommates in college and have remained friends over the years. Mr. Matt Donahoe, I'm very happy to have you here tonight.
Tim, it is a pleasure to be talking to you.
So, with both of you here, the topic at hand tonight is a topic that hit the internet, like a Mack truck a few weeks ago, maybe, I guess it was. The topic of a potential Mr. Rogers movie. Now, for me, you know, coming from the Neighborhood Archive, I guess all things Mr. Rogers, you would think that I heard this weeks and weeks prior to it breaking, but actually the same day that the world, you know, has hit the world, the same day that I found out about it. In fact, it was Benjamin Wagner, who's actually been on this podcast himself, who's the guy behind Mr. Rogers and Me, the documentary. He's actually the one who I heard this from. He had tweeted some information about it when it first hit the news that morning, and it was pretty exciting, you know, and it was all over the place. But before we get into a discussion on the movie itself, let me read a little bit of an article from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. This is by, the writer's name is Barbara, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Vancheri. If I'm mispronouncing that, I apologize. A couple of the clips say, "The online media is often running with speculation about who could play Fred Rogers in a movie, but stories about such a project were news to the Fred Rogers Company." And then it goes on to say, "Mike Fleming Jr. of Deadline.com posted an item that quickly was picked up by other outlets. He wrote in part, specific details on the storyline are being kept under wraps. Alexis Jolly has been a staff writer on the Ellen DeGeneres show and pitched the idea to his APA agents who helped it find a home at Treehouse." Then later in the article it says, "Kevin Morrison, chief operating officer of the Fred Rogers Company, said late Thursday afternoon, we were unaware of this film until somebody sent us a link to the announcement earlier today. He would say nothing further, but obviously deciding to make a movie about the children's icon who died a decade ago is revered in Pittsburgh and around the world is not as simple as it sounds. For starters, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is the title supposedly of this film, is almost word for word a line from the copyrighted song Won't You Be My Neighbor, and the filmmakers would need to get permission to use music from Mr. Rogers' songbook, along with clearance for any other copyrighted or trademarked work. So either the filmmakers would have to negotiate such use or face a thorny legal battle. It's too early to know where this one will go." So as we begin our conversation here, guys, this is the opinion I'm taking, is that if the Fred Rogers Company, who owns basically every bit of material that Fred Rogers, or a good majority of the material that Fred Rogers created, if they were unaware of this from the get-go, my guess is it's probably not going to happen. But Let's assume that it is going to happen, and let's talk about this a little bit. I've chosen you two guys because, Guy, I know you're a pop culture fanatic in every sense of the word. Matt, I would say the same thing about you, but I know you well enough to know that you're especially a movie guy. And yes. So I thought the two of you would be fantastic people to talk about this. So let's talk about it, guys. Guy, let's start with you. What do you think? Is this a first of all, let's talk about, is it going to happen or no? What do you think?
Well, you know, when I first heard about it, first of all, it always strikes me how everything Mr. Rogers that hits the news goes across the internet so quickly, whether it's, you know, some kind of, you know, terrorist attack and there's a quote from him that's pulled out. It just seems to float across Twitter and Facebook amazingly fast. And I'm always amazed at the impact that he seemed to have on people, that they forget about him until something comes across. And then as soon as it hits the wires, something like this movie, everybody's talking about it. And I mean, this thing blew up in like one day. But When I first heard about it, my thought was the only way that this would happen is if Mr. Rogers' company actually wants it to happen. And there have been occasions where that's happened. Larry Flint, they made a movie about him, The People versus Larry Flint. His company cooperated with it and pushed it forward. But I don't see what the benefit to that company is to have a movie about Mr. Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what do you think?
Well, in the past, you've had, and what I tend to think about is like movies about musicians. You have, there was a Beatles movie called Backbeat, and there's a couple of Jimi Hendrix movies being made right now or being in various levels of production that have not secured the rights to the artist's music. Mm-hmm. And being public figures, they can go ahead and make these movies regardless if they secure that those songs or whatnot. They could still make a movie about the life of Mr. Rogers. So I think if they want to, regardless of if they want that or not, if somebody wants to make a movie, they could still do it.
Right. No, but Matt, there's a huge difference, I think, between saying this is an unauthorized, you know, biography of Jimi Hendrix or Ray Charles, and to have something unauthorized about a figure who the whole purpose of it would be, unless they're looking to trash him, which is not, I don't think would be the notion behind it. It just seems like unauthorized would be a big negative stamp on it.
Oh, I agree with that totally. And that was going to be my next thing, which is, yes, if they want it made, they can get it made with or without them. But then it gets into that territory of what's the point then? Why are we – it's not like he has some sordid past that we're going mm-hmm. to expose and titillate audiences with. I mean, everything I've read about Mr. Rogers, and I'm not nearly as well-versed as either of you, he's a very clean, positive past. Mm-hmm. And I don't, and I'm not saying that it wouldn't make for a good movie necessarily, but there's no, and this is a joke I saw somewhere else, there's no 40 ad break in the VH1 Behind the Music where it says, and then the bad times hit. You know, I mean,
right.
You don't really have that.
No, I'd go further and say it doesn't sound like it would make a good movie. I mean, I really don't see the story arc to his life. I don't see even where the apex of his career was. Thinking of other biopics, it doesn't fit the storyline of what you would want for it. I don't see the drama there.
I totally agree with that. And I don't know, you know, what's the climax of his story. Now, he has some interesting moments in his life, obviously, but maybe those are more suited to some sort of biography written about
it. And I think you just hit the nail on the head as far as what I look at, the way I look at this, Matt, is what you just said, where there's no climax. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To where if I'm going to go see a movie, you've got to have the ups and the downs and things like that. And I'm not saying there weren't ups and downs in the life of Fred Rogers, but his life to me is geared more towards a biography type thing, a documentary. Which those are out there. There's been biographies. There's the fantastic documentary America's Favorite Neighbor. It's wonderful. But it's not anything that I don't think it would make a good movie. I truly don't think so. And I'm a person who clearly is interested in the life of Fred Rogers, but I don't see it being A, anything that would make a good movie, B, anything that would make a successful movie.
Right. Because, yeah, I mean, I see him as somebody that, you know, there, you know, certainly we all have challenges to overcome, but his career doesn't show a lot of that. There's not a lot of ups and downs to it. And it sounds like he was a guy who did what he did in the calmest way possible and did it in a very steady way, which is the opposite of almost any movie I've ever seen in my life.
So it sounds to me like we all have the kind of a similar opinion of is it a good idea?
Right.
You know.
Let me throw one thing in there.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. The thing that I thought was interesting about it is, and you read it in that article, was that one of the writers for the Ellen Show has the screenplay. Now I don't know that show very well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if he's used to writing for that show, that's not an excessively negative show. It's a fun, light, bouncy show. And if they could bring that kind of sentimentality to, that kind of mentality to a Mr. Rogers movie, that could be a plus for it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one of the things is, first of all, from what I understand, it's a spec script that's written, and they write a lot of these every day, and the concept isn't always to make the movie. But let's say it is. Maybe this is something that wouldn't be a big theatrical, you know, blockbuster that's supposed to sweep the Academy Awards or clean up at the box office. Maybe the concept behind this is maybe a TV movie, maybe a miniseries. But even then, unless there's some story that I don't know, you know, his story is so straightforward that it doesn't, I mean, at least to me, and maybe part of the thing is I know his story, but to me, it just doesn't, I don't feel like, Tim, where would you say, if you were going to do this movie, mm-hmm. where would you say you end it? Do you just end when he dies?
Well,
or is
exactly.
there a moment, a lot of times in biopics, there's that one big moment where they finally got it. And I don't know what that moment is with his career.
Yeah.
When his show took off, it took off, but it mm-hmm. seemed to take off gradually. And he never exploited it to where it was something bigger than he wanted it to be. It seemed to be pretty steady until it ended.
Well, it's exactly what you said. You know, there's where do you start it? Where do you end it? How does the flow in between go? Especially in a situation where you're talking about a man whose career was essentially based on this television show that lasted 30 or 40 years, that took so much pride in being the exact same when it started as it was when it ended. And so we're not talking about a show where it started and the producers didn't like it, and so there was a conflict and he changed it around or anything like that. We're talking about something that was the same for 40 years. And that's a pretty good chunk of his story right there that is lacking the things that make a good movie. You know what I mean? It's lacking the conflict. It's lacking the ups and the downs. Not that I have a problem with that, because I love the fact that it was the same when it started as it was when it ended. But I just got to go back to the fact that I don't think his life is one that would make a good, a good movie versus a documentary.
Let me throw this out. Even if you take a look at his personal life, from what we know about it, mm-hmm. It's not like this is a guy who lost his wife and then got her back, or, you know, he died of cancer, but it's not like a guy who beat cancer, came back on television, and then went back. It's not a guy who had a drunk driving arrest and they took his show away from him, and then he proved to everybody he had changed and got his show back. It just, I don't feel that kind of drama to it. Mm-hmm. And if anything, if I was in charge of a studio and could sit down and say, this is the movie I would make about this man's career, what I'd say is, hey, why don't we just do a live action kids movie that takes place in the neighborhood of make believe? You know, to me, I don't see the movie in this story.
Mm-mm. Not at all. Not at all.
The only thing I could think would be if they made the feel good picture of the year that, mm-hmm. you know, where it was about the values of perseverance and doing what you believe in. But even movies like that still need some sort of conflict.
You know, but, it, but, Go ahead. Sorry, Guy.
But I was going to say, Matt, the thing I've noticed about Fred Rogers' career, and a lot of this I've learned through listening to some of the interviews you've done, Tim, is that he sounded like a guy that came from privilege. And this was a guy that his career, not that it came easy to him, but this was a career he chose. And he stood by and said, no, this is what I want to do, and waited for the right station to say yes, and then did it exactly the way he wanted to. I mean, it doesn't work from even that angle. But I do have an idea. A number of years ago, they made a terrible movie called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Sure. The fact that you use the word Harris. Terrible there is painful, Guy.
Yeah. Oh, you're a fan of this?
Oh, I'm a huge Chuck Barris fan.
Terrible part.
I like Chuck Barris a whole lot. I did not like the movie.
That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
But
argument.
If you did that about Fred Rogers and you took the sniper rumor everybody always has and made a movie where Fred Rogers is a sniper in Vietnam, he's killing people, and then he's doing the show, and then the military's like, Fred, we need you to go take out so and so, and he goes into Panama and he's shooting a gun, and then he goes back and he's tying his shoes and talking to the camera and making the trolley go back and forth. That's a movie I might want to see. But other than that, I don't see where the drama is.
Only if it ends with a close-up of him pulling up his sleeves on his sweater to reveal the tattoos.
Yes, exactly. That should be. See, that's the story arc. That's what I'd like to see.
And you know what? I'm going to roll with this idea and tell you then that when he goes into this fantasy land, it's to deal with his demons. That's why. And you get like the Jim Henson Company to make like these life-sized King Friday.
Oh, brother. The ideas, we should pitch these.
But since you, Matt, bring up Jim Henson. Jim Henson's story, to me, is a more cinematic story. This is a guy who separated from his wife at the end of his career, a guy who was at the apex of his career, was about to sell his company, and then he died. And it's a tragic story with a lot more to it. I just feel that Fred retired, and he followed. If you had sat that man down at the beginning of his career and said, how do you want your career and life to go? He'd probably spell it out to you somewhat similar to the way it went.
And he'd do it very slowly and friendly.
No, to go back to what we were saying a second ago, Guy, you mentioned that, Fred came from privilege. That's exactly right. It's well documented that he came from a wealthy background. He went into the ministry and essentially, his ministry became his television program, became his work with children. And so, yeah, like we said, I don't know that has the climax that's necessary for a Hollywood movie or even a television, hour and a half special with commercials. I just don't see it. I truly just don't see it. But
I want to say, Tim, I thought after hearing a lot about his life and the fact that he did grow up, in a household with privilege where he had choices, I think had he not, it's hard to imagine he would have done what he did. I think that it's so wonderful that he came from a background where he could choose what he wanted to do and that he could say, hey, I want to give back by doing this show. And no, I don't want to have commercials for chocolate milk on it. And I don't want to, make $1 million in toys. And I don't want to do this or that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably the most unique part of his career.
Mm-hmm. And not to say he didn't pay his dues. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
He certainly worked his way up the ladder.
The stuff about him working for Gabby Hayes might actually be somewhat of an interesting cinematic scene.
Sure. He spent some time working as a page for NBC for people who aren't aware of that. He did work his way up the ladder, paid his dues and worked his way to the point that he got to. But he also got to the point where he was able, like you said, Guy, to make decisions. He chose to not have a commercial television program, even though it was hung and dangled right before his face. He chose to not merchandise to the extent of shows like Sesame Street and other programs. You know, again, you know, nothing against those programs for doing that, but he chose to make it more about the content and not as much about the product, I guess you could say. Which I think there's a lot of things to be respected there, but at the same time, when we're talking about a movie, it's not the most thrilling story.
Well, speaking of conflict, my oldest daughter, she's 11. I was telling her what I was doing tonight. I was going to, about being on this podcast, and I was telling her a little bit about Mr. Rogers, and I told her about the time he had Big Bird on the show.
Yeah.
And her response when I first started, she said, "Why would he do that? Aren't they on competing shows?" I said, "No, you know, they were both," and just the idea that you know, even in a show that he would be considered to be in competition with, there was no conflict even there. You know, that's getting right again to the heart of the quote unquote problem of having a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's ask this. Simple question here, Matt. Good idea, bad idea for a Mr. Rogers movie?
Bad idea.
Guy, what do you think?
You know, I guess I'll say that it sounds like a bad idea. Maybe the screenwriter is so brilliant that there is an idea there that me, you, and Matt can't think of, and there's something more to it. So, we're all wet on this, and it's a fantastic idea, and it'll be out next summer, directed by Michael Bay, and make $1 billion.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah. And I'm going to say bad idea. As much as I would love to see anything and everything out there, just promoting the legacy of Fred Rogers, I think a movie about his life would not be successful. And I think in the long run, I think there's better ways to promote his legacy and better ways to carry on his legacy than to make a Hollywood feature. So with that said, though, let's assume that we are wrong. Let's assume that this is the greatest idea that's ever been created in Hollywood, that this movie is going to happen. With that in mind, who plays Fred Rogers? This is a tough question. This was a hot topic when this story hit the internet a few weeks ago. That was the biggest topic. It wasn't like this is great, there's going to be a movie about Fred Rogers. The big topic was who's going to play Fred. I've got my own personal leading favorite if this is going to happen. Curious what you guys think. Let's start with Matt. What do you think?
Tim, am I pandering to the audience if I say Alan Ruck?
For people that that don't know me well that are listening, I'm a huge Ferris Bueller's Day Off fan, so that may be pushing my buttons a little bit. Is that truly who you think should play Fred?
You know, I was looking up some different people, and you know, I've seen him in a lot of different roles. Obviously, mm-hmm. Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off is what everyone thinks of, but you know, he was like in Twister. He was recently, in the past couple of years, he was in an episode of Justified that I saw him on, and he has quite a range. But at the same time, he usually kind of plays, or I should say, has these great acting abilities, but he usually plays these kind of like soft-spoken guys, and I think he could actually, now that he's older, he could carry Mr. Rogers pretty well. So that actually, pandering or not, that would be probably one of my top votes.
Okay. Guy, what do you think?
You know, the choices that they put out, I saw, I think Steve Carell was one that a lot of people thought should be. and who else? There was another name attached, and it wasn't somebody I was very familiar with, but it was somebody that had a comedic background,
yeah.
I believe.
One, right, one of the other names is my hands down leading candidate, but I want to hear what you think first.
Okay. I wanted to get that out, because when I was thinking about it, when I read those names, I thought, well, maybe people are imagining it as a comedy. Maybe they're imagining this as like the Starsky and Hutch movie they put out a few years ago, like the Dukes of Hazzard movie,
sure.
Where you take something, you know, a show that was not silly, and you silly it up and put it out as like a parody of it. Mm-hmm. But when I was thinking about this, I just started thinking what actor I could picture that could do physically, could kind of look like him, and that could do the voice. And I think Alan Ruck, as Matt mentions, is a fantastic suggestion. I think that the voice is very important. And I thought, a good actor is important. And I have six names, three for if they were shooting older, and three if they wanted to start with somebody that was very young.
This brings up a great point. I'm glad you said you've got the older and the younger, because when I thought about this, I thought of one person, and this would be like a young Fred. And then I was talking about this with my wife, and she said, no, there's no way. And then it hit me that she was thinking of an older Fred Rogers.
Right.
And so this is where I'm very curious to see what you've got, Guy.
Well, I will tell you, all of my names are much younger than he was when he passed. I went with some guys that were in their, 40s and some guys that were in their 20s and 30s.
Okay.
The younger guys, the first name I have on here, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who I've seen in so many things lately and just has convinced me that he's, first of all, a tremendous actor. And if there was a great deal of drama to be done in this, I feel he could do it. Another actor was Elijah Wood, who I feel could do the look and the sound of it very well, could do the voice very well. And then there was an actor who I've never watched The Big Bang Theory, but I've seen a few interviews with Jim Parsons, who's on that show. And to me, he really seemed to embody a lot of the characteristics that I would think you would want in an actor to play him. Now, if you went older and
let me interrupt you real quick, Guy, because Jim Parsons, that right there, that's my guy. That's the guy that I think a lot of people know him as Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. I think if there's a young Fred Rogers that's going to be on a movie, it's Jim Parsons without question. Look at the guy. If we're looking for someone who could pull this off from a visible standpoint, from a visible perspective, he would be ideal as far as I'm concerned, with from his body type to his the potential hairstyles. Yeah. Now maybe I'm just looking at it more from having seen him on Big Bang Theory and the way he's presented himself on there, but I just feel like he would be a great person for that young Fred Rogers. But I want to hear what you got for the older Fred Rogers.
It's interesting that you say that. So was he the other name that they were throwing around?
He was, yeah. He was the big ones that I heard were Steve Carell and Jim Parsons. And Steve Carell, I agree with Matt. Let's push that aside. Steve Carell would be, I think, kind of a sad attempt to grab a big name.
And I like Steve Carell. I don't want you to think I don't. Mm-hmm. I think he's very funny.
Oh, I do too.
But he brings with him a certain amount of baggage, so to speak.
In what way?
A certain expectation.
Okay.
The older gentleman that I put on here, and one of the reasons that I put these three gentlemen on here is a quote from an interview that you did, and Tim, help me, because I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he was a guy who was one of the main guys, behind the scenes with Fred.
Oh gosh, it's been a while since I've done an interview. Was it Elliot Daly?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Elliot Daly told a story about how he would go and speak to parents groups, and they would have a lot of questions. And he said, oh, my God, this guy is so powerful. For you to have this impression of him, that he's very meek, that he's very, that a lot of people thought he was very wimpy. And he said, behind the scenes, this is a guy that is very macho, and he always thought it was funny, not that there was anything wrong if somebody was, but that was the impression people got, because in the 70s, that was, people would look at that as being something, somebody who's soft-spoken, maybe that's what was going on there. And when I listened to that interview, I thought about, this is a guy we didn't know. We never met this Fred, the Fred that worked behind the scenes there. And I started thinking of actors that I thought could do both, that could be a powerful behind-the-scenes guy and also be, a soft-spoken in front of the camera guy. And so I thought of Edward Norton, I thought of John Cusack, and then I thought of a third guy who would also be a fine director for the project, a guy who I really enjoy as an actor, I know has certainly taken his licks, but Ben Affleck was the third name I thought.
I'm just starting to picture John Cusack, who, as a huge John Cusack fan, I'm trying to picture him as an older Mr. Rogers, and that's interesting. I hadn't even considered that.
You know who I want to jump in on there is Edward Norton. Because I really like him as an actor, and apparently he is, let's say, difficult to work with because he has a pretty singular vision when he's working on a film of how he wants things done, and he wants things done his way, and he has a certain goal, which, you know, if you're saying that's the persona Fred Rogers had backstage, he could really bring that out in that role.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right, because that's the impression that I've received from you know, hearing from other people who have worked with Fred, and you know, just a handful of years of looking, you know, researching this and looking into this a bit, not from a negative standpoint, but he was very specific about this is the way I want things, and this is the way things are going to happen.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if I explained it in a clumsy way or not, but the impression I've gotten from that interview and others was that this was a guy, he was a mean guy or anything, but he was a guy that was the boss. And, you know, he was the boss of that show, and it was his vision, and he stood there and didn't let anybody else tell him how to do his show or what he was going to put on his show.
And I'm glad you brought up that interview with Elliot Daly, because if you're listening to this and you haven't listened to that interview, I think of any podcast I've done with people who have worked on the show, it would be right up there with talking with Audrey Roth. But the time I spent talking with Elliot Daly, that was the best part, I think, of any podcast I've done, when he described Fred as such a powerful person.
Yeah, it was something I went back and listened to a second time, because that was a complaint that a lot of people had, was, hey, I don't know if I want my son to watch this. Yeah. He, you know, he might be a wimp like this guy on TV. And Elliot was saying this was not a wimpy person. Yeah. This was the most powerful man I knew.
Yeah, when he said, you know, he could come into a room and just his presence alone would command the attention of everyone in that room without him even speaking a word or doing anything. That to me was just absolutely fascinating.
And that's where I see Edward Norton. And also, I also see that Edward Norton could also play Bill Bixby if they did a trip to the Incredible Hulk set in the film.
Now, what if they did a part in the movie with Bill Bixby on the set of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? This could be a problem with Edward Norton.
I think Edward Norton is a guy who's a chameleon as an actor. Dual roles here. Do some split-screen silliness.
and you know, while we're talking about this, that is why Edward Norton did not come back as the Hulk for the Avengers movie, because of wanting to do things his way. And so you get somebody like that as Mr. Rogers, and...
A perfect fit.
Perfect fit.
Perfect fit, so right?
One of them... you know, gets angry at the other.
And turns green and rips his sweater off to reveal the tattoos.
Now, see, I'd see that movie.
Yeah, I might. Guys, what do you think? Is this doable or no? Is this, you know, whether we want it to happen, what do you think? Matt, is this going to happen, or is this just another thing that hit the internet that spread like wildfire that 6 months from now everyone is going to forget about?
I think it's going to hang around for a little bit until the next big rumor starts up, and then it's going to be, in this case, thankfully forgotten. Not a negative on the man or the show, sure, but for this movie, thankfully it'll be forgotten.
Guy, what do you think? Is this going to happen?
I don't think it's going to happen, but I have an answer to a question you're not answering, which is, do I think it would be good if it did? And I think it would be, because my theory on all of these types of things, whether it's a remake on something, you know, a show you like, or a reboot of a series you like, even if you don't enjoy what they do with it, it encourages people to seek out, and it encourages companies to release the original product. So if they put out this, I think we'd get a lot more of the old episodes put up on not just Amazon, but maybe some nice box sets people could buy, and maybe it might come back on television. So I think it would be a good thing. I don't think it's going to happen.
And I got to agree with both of you. I think in a lot of ways it could be a good thing. It could be a good way to promote that legacy. Truth be told, do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't. I think it was one of those things that somebody has an idea, they threw it out there, one other person latched onto it, spread it to the right person, and like we all know, the internet, you know, spreads like wildfire. And unfortunately, when people hear things or read things online, it must be true, right? And so since it's been seen online, apparently everyone has it in their heads that there's going to be a Mr. Rogers movie. There's been news articles on major media outlets about this story. I heard it on our local radio here in Central Illinois on the way to work one day that this was going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, guys. I truly don't. And it's interesting to hear the two of you agree with that sentiment for the most part. Anything else for the good of the cause, guys?
Well, I just want to say that if they actually did make a movie of it, I expect to see your name, Tim, in the credits as a consulting producer or something like that.
I just want to be an extra. I just want to be like that guy, like in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, when Pee-wee is just kind of like sticking his face off to the side of the camera, just getting in the shot. That's all I want. I just want to get in the shot once in a while.
Paging Mr. Rogers.
Well played. Well played. This is why I wanted you on, Matt Donahoe.
Tim, if you will indulge me, I've put a lot of thought into some of the other cast members that
You know, I'm sorry. I didn't even touch on that. Go for it. Let's hear what you got.
And I have some ideas and some questions for both of you about who you would cast in some of these different roles. I obviously, right after Mr. Rogers on the show, you'd probably want to cast Mr. McFeely. And to me, this was the hardest character because of the fact that you had a man playing a much older man on television. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy who was you know, younger than Fred playing a man much older than him, and then eventually they caught up with each other on television. And so the only thing I could think of was that you would probably, if you're going to have a comedic character, David Newell as a human being seems to be a very nice and fun kind of person. And I think if you're going to inject any comedy into the cast, that's where I would put it. I would, you know, maybe amp his character up a little bit, make him, you know, put a real comedian in there. So I was thinking maybe somebody like Bill Hader, maybe somebody like Ryan Reynolds, but somebody, you know, somebody young, you know, having fun with this Mr. McFeely character, and then maybe being a little wisecracking around the office and the office scenes.
I love the idea of Bill Hader playing Mr. McFeely. This is fantastic. This is fantastic. Keep going, guy.
The next character I put on here, which would, if you were making the movie, you probably need to have Mrs. Rogers. You probably need to have Fred's real-life wife,
true.
Joanne, cast in the film. And it took me a long time. I looked at some old pictures of her, and I thought of interviews I've heard her give. And Maggie Gyllenhaal was the one person I thought of that looked a lot like she did when she was younger. Mm-hmm. And I thought has a good dramatic range, because you would assume that that's a part that would require a lot of serious acting.
Let me tell you, when you brought this up, I have given zero thought to this short of the last 30 seconds of who would play anyone other than Fred. And when you said Mrs. Rogers, she is the first person that popped in my head.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Yeah, I think she'd be great. Now, the rest of these, I think, are almost obvious, but they were ones where when I thought of the person and I pulled up a photo to look at them, even though I've seen this show a bunch of times, I said, let me look at their face. Mm-hmm. And Betty Aberlin, I was thinking, you got Marissa Tomei or Jennifer Connelly, both of whom I thought would look really right for the part.
That'd be great.
Matt, do you have any ideas on any of the ones I've said so far?
I was trying to think. I know nothing about Mrs. Rogers, but
she's an interesting person because she was not a public person at all. But she is a accomplished pianist, I believe, right, Tim?
That's true.
But she's done, I think, more so since his death. She's done a handful of interviews, and you can, you know, look her up and find some stuff about her. But Matt, go ahead.
Oh, just of the three you named there, I'm going to vote on Maggie Gyllenhaal as well. I think she is a very talented actress and could really convey that dramatic person that you want to pull in for the wife. I was trying to think. You mentioned Bill Hader,
yes,
for Mr. McFeely. I'll tell you, if you're looking for somebody funny, is the guy from he's leaving Saturday Night Live, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah,
he is.
I can see that as well.
Yeah,
Yes. He is kind of all over the place right now a little bit, but he's a funny guy with enough, you know, straight man in him that he doesn't have to play goofy all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the subject of Dr. Francois Scarborough Clemens.
Yeah.
I immediately went with somebody I think most people would, a very talented actor who physically looks a lot like him, Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great.
I think it was the other person I thought of was Bill Nunn, but I think Forrest Whitaker really I think there's not a lot of acting to be done at that point. The guy has a very similar delivery, you know, a very similar tone. You know, a similar voice. I don't know that Forrest Whitaker has as beautiful a singing voice, but has a very similar speaking voice.
Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that on your podcast, Guy, on the Adventure Club podcast, you have spoken with Francois Clemens, and it's a great interview if you have the opportunity to listen to that. Definitely check that out.
Yeah, I always like to plug that because it was so great talking to him. He was teaching, and I believe he's retired since then, but he was teaching at a college, and I sent him an email and asked him to do it, and I mean, he just opened up and told some of the most fantastic stories and was such a genuinely nice person. I talked to him before and after the interview on separate occasions, and just has been one of the nicest people. I mean, he was somebody that within about 3 minutes of talking to him, we were chit-chatting about the town I live in because he had visited the same town and he had friends here. And I mean, I was talking to this guy like I had known him my whole life within a couple minutes of talking before we even recorded. And it's an interview I'm really proud of. And yeah, I people definitely should go check that out. Yeah. But this would be a scene stealing part. Tim Conway.
As Bob True.
Yes! I can see him doing Bob Dog. I can see him making some funny comments. I know he's probably way on the old end of the scale compared to everybody else we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes for movies you have to take some dramatic license. And, you know, maybe you make him look slightly younger or you don't bring the character in until later on in the series. But I think he would be perfect. I think he would be so good.
Give me two more. Do you have a Handyman Negri and a Chef Brockett for me?
I have both. Both. Handyman Negri, I think Kevin Spacey would be fantastic in that role.
Okay.
This is great. And then finally,
give me a Chef Brockett. Yeah, give me a Chef Brockett.
I think Chef Brockett, you got to have a lot of fun with that character, so I put Jack Black on my card.
Jack Black as Chef Brockett. I think, Guy Hutchinson, I think you have nailed it here. I'm putting this cast together in my mind, and now we're talking about a movie I would go see.
We're also talking about one of the highest budgeted films of all time for kids.
This is true. But I would go see this movie now. I would go see this movie if this cast was assembled. It might be one of the more boring movies from a cinematic standpoint, but I would go see it.
They're like, it's boring, but Jack Black and Tim Conway are hysterical.
I have to say, at this point, I'm sold on an opening night of this film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would be, I think I would be even more entertained, though, if this movie turned out to be an actual just episode of the show brought to feature length.
I think you're onto something. Let's do a 90-minute episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as it was structured as a show with these actors and actresses.
But don't turn it into like the Brady Bunch movies or the Dukes of Hazzard movies where they're like I said earlier, where you're trying to, you know, make it silly or something. Keep that original spirit, maybe modernize it just a little bit.
This is something I would see. I
think you're onto something. But how about this, though? How about if you've got 90 minutes and you're showing the taping of one show with behind-the-scenes stuff? You know, there's, you know, rewrites and stuff like that. Fred saying, no, I don't want to do that this way. I want to do it this way. But the whole thing is structured around one episode.
I'd be there.
And then see the episode?
Yeah, I think you'd see it in pieces throughout the way I picture it is, you know, it starts off, the day of, you know, Fred's arriving to the studio, you know, and the episode that they choose doesn't matter. They could choose parts of different episodes and Frankenstein together, what they want it to cover. But you have, not necessarily, you know, vicious fights, but arguments with him and maybe some people from the network, or, you know, you take stories from throughout the entire run of that career and throughout his entire career and life, and you kind of sandwich them all into this one day so that you have this very dramatic story with a whole arc and, you know, neighborhood of make-believe in a theater. Oh, my goodness. Widescreen. I think that may be a totally different idea.
Okay, not only do I want to see this movie now, yes, but I also want a producer credit on it as well.
No, I got to say, until you said that, I hadn't thought of any way that this would work. But really, the idea of taking one episode, you know, however you do it, and making that the movie is a great idea.
And then one of the features on the DVD Blu-ray release would be watching just the episode in its entirety with none of the backstage stuff,
as well as the audio of this podcast.
Well, yeah, exactly. Cool. No, they would call us in to do a new commentary.
Gentlemen, let's wrap it up. This has been wonderful. I think we've taken something that could potentially be a cinematic train wreck, and I think we've turned it into a blockbuster here with the actors, the actresses, the storyline. This has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Let's wrap up here, Matt. If people want to find you online, are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. It's Mr. Donahoe, D-O-N-O-H-O, Donahoe.
I will warn people now that if you follow Mr. Donahoe on Twitter, you will likely be subjected to inside jokes between himself and between him and myself on topics such as Kid and Play, possibly a little bit of Public Enemy in there, maybe even a few Full House references that no one else will understand except for Matt and myself, but and that's then, okay.
Yeah, and then the other things you're going to get are either whatever is on my mind or messages to my students as I am a high school teacher.
Yes,
so.
Yes, well done. Guy, yeah, where can we find you online?
I'm following Mr. Donahoe right now.
Yes, yes.
Just clicked it on my Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, Guy Hutchinson on Twitter. I'm also GuyHutchinson.com, also AdventureClubPodcast.com. And when you go to that site, you'll find all the podcasts that I do. And Tim has been a guest on several of them, and I encourage anybody that enjoys listening to him on this podcast to check out those, because I think with the different format over there, you know, it's a different Tim, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. We've done a bunch of podcasts about Back to the Future and The Karate Kid and several about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood that I think people should check out when they're over there. So GuyHutchinson.com, AdventureClubPodcast.com, and Guy Hutchinson anywhere. Just type Guy Hutchinson into Google, and it's probably me.
Very good.
I'm going to do that as soon as we're done recording.
Nice. I've made a connection here. This is great. Guys, thank you very, very much for your comments tonight, your thoughts. This has been very interesting. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
For those of you listening, I'm hoping that this podcast thing will pick up some steam, and I can spend my summer months, as I too work in a high school, as many of you know. My summer months away from work, I'm hoping I can take some of that time to get back into the podcast with the website. If not, there's always the neighborhoodarchive.com website that you can go to for all things Mr. Rogers. Thanks for your listening.